This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
If there was an accident along the highway, one where dozens of people needed help, but the ambulance guys just sat motionless watching others provide assistance, what would you think of their ethics? If a woman had her purse snatched, but the police officer refused to help because carrying a purse is enticing the crime, what would you think of that officer's job code? If millions of people needed help after Hurricane Katrina and one insurance company not only attempted to pay as little as possible, but also declared not to write any more homeowners policies in that area, how would you feel about doing business with that company? Doesn't sound like a good neighbor now, does it? America's largest insurance company announced a few weeks ago that it was refusing to write new homeowners policies in the hurricane-battered state of Mississippi. The company spokesperson confirmed that this was purely a business decision. That's right, refusing to be there for people who need you is a business decision. I knew corporations had no conscience, but corporations apparently have no soul. Policyholders and their attorneys have already accused this insurance company and others of pressuring agents and engineers to change their conclusions about whether wind or water was responsible for storm damage, so claims could be denied. Insurers say their policies cover damage from wind, but not rising water. Yes, those people chose to live in a hazardous place and have done so for years, but the insurance companies took their money in and have done so for years. They just won't pay it out. So here's what I'm doing. I'm refusing to pay my money to this insurance company. They have insured my home and car for years, but no more. When the bills come in, I am switching to someone who at least pretends to... And then I will call up the old company and tell them why. It probably won't mean anything to them, losing one customer while keeping the money from millions of others. But at least I can tell my soon-to-be former company that true neighbors are a heck of a lot nicer than they are. Oh, good morning. Just a reminder that those sort of comments are not necessarily from the radio station or anyone who supports the radio station or anyone on the board of the radio station. They are just my own. Well, hopefully others as well. But all right, let's see. Today is going to be one of those wacky and chaotic but always fun programs here on the Wake Up Call. We're going to have folks from Offstage Theater, is that the proper term, Jen?
That's it, exactly.
Offstage Theater, Community Theater, Bar Hoppers, and we're going to, tonight is the first show of the Spring 2007 Community Theater set.
Yes, we are at Rapture this evening, the first in 9 performances. We'll be there at 7:30 tonight, tomorrow, and also on Tuesday night.
And then the next 2 weeks as well, you do a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for next Sunday, and then a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for the week after that.
Yep, and so next week we'll be at Escafé, same time, 7:30, and the week after that we hop back to Rapture.
All right, and we'll toss that information out plenty of times during the hour today, where, when, how much, etc., and why in the world you would do it at a bar. I'm curious as to whether the name Bar Hoppers came first or the place. Anyway, we'll get into that. But we got a load of people. What do you got, a dozen people here?
Almost a dozen, yeah.
A dozen folks. We're going to do bits from 4 of the acts, plays, of the, what do you got, 10?
We have six.
Six
this year.
Mm-hmm. Six this year. You're going to get little bits of four of them performed for you here on the Wake Up Call, just to entice you, just enough to excite you and entice you down to Rapture and Escafé this year, and show these people that you appreciate and understand the work and effort that goes into what they're doing. All right, let's test the other microphones. I have Ray Nedsel.
That's right.
Let me turn that up just a little bit. Ray Nedsel, director of one of the plays today that we're going to be doing today, and reading in the first one, which is called Power Lunch.
That's right, Rick.
And we have Alex Citron.
Hi.
The director of Power Lunch. And so, who wants to give me a little background on Power Lunch?
Power Lunch is a short play by Joel Jones, who's a former resident of Charlottesville, who's now off in New York, making his way as an aspiring playwright. This particular play was written in the early 1990s, actually, and it deals sort of with an absurdist take on corporate downsizing, in which a large, nameless sort of monolithic company has gotten rid of all of their offices and employees and moved their operations to one table in the back of a bar.
All right. Jen, anything else we need to know?
Well, what's interesting about this play also is that it seems to, you know, history goes in cycles. So although this was written back in the early 1990s and was performed in one of the first Bar Hoppers, I think about 13 or 14 years ago, it seems certainly timely today.
All right. So again, one more time. These guys are holding pieces of paper over their head so I can be prepared. Ray is Fred. Ray is reading as Fred, and Alex is reading as Mr. Blunt Butter. All right, Jen, I'm going to turn our microphones off. Guys, whenever you're ready, fire away.
Here, Fred, is where we've moved your office.
In a bar, Mr. Blunt Butter?
Oh, not just a bar, Fred. A bar and a restaurant.
Where's my desk, sir?
Desk? Oh, Fred, desks are outmoded office concepts. Relics. Anachronisms. From now on, you'll sit at a table. Any table you like.
Oh.
No, over here.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Blunt Butter.
Now get to work. We've been dilly-dallying long enough.
What should I do, Mr. Blunt Butter?
It doesn't matter. We in management hired you to do those monotonous and unpleasant tasks which we find distasteful. So find yourself a monotonous and unpleasant task and do it.
Yes, sir.
Of course, this really isn't the sort of bar and restaurant which I would normally frequent, since I must maintain a higher socioeconomic profile. Oh, except at lunch. We executives will often eat lunch at places where we wouldn't touch for dinner. Gives us an excuse to undertip.
Why do I have to work here, Mr. Blunt Butter?
Oh.
Why can't I keep my old cubicle with my headache-inducing computer screen, my buzzing overhead drop ceiling fluorescent lights, and my beige four-drawer metal filing cabinet? I miss my filing cabinet, sir.
Well, Fred, change is good for you.
I miss the coffee machine.
You can get coffee here.
I miss the coffee machine.
Fred.
The way it would break down every week. I felt a real bond with it.
Fred, we had to make cutbacks, Fred. Cutbacks. Streamlining. Reorganization. Restructuring. Yes, Fred, we've sold all of our offices and factories. All of them. Well, think of the profit we'll turn this quarter.
What about next quarter?
Oh, don't be a coward, Fred. American capitalism is based upon risk-taking. Blood and guts. Rambo. John Wayne. Butt-kicking. All out. Balls to the wall. Well, not that that would apply to you, of course, but well, ready, fire, aim, initiative. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Our company is going to be the wave of the future, Fred. No offices. No factories. In fact, we've completely eliminated products.
Eliminated products?
Yes, isn't it brilliant? Absolutely no more products. Think of the money we'll save on raw materials, on transportation, labor, quality control, campaign contributions, and best of all, no more product liability.
But why have a company if it isn't making anything?
We will be making something, Fred. We'll be making the most important thing of all, money.
But how will we make money if we don't have any products?
Lots of advertising. Shh.
Oh, but, Mr. Blunt Butter, if we don't have any products, then Why do we have any employees?
Oh, don't be stupid, Fred. If we didn't have any employees, who would we lay off during recessions? Now, get back to work. We don't pay you for gabbing. In fact, if I had my way, we wouldn't pay you at all. Now, if you need to contact anyone else in the company, the accounting department is over at the City Bus Terminal. Marketing is over in Lee Park. The switchboard is at one of those old payphones on Main Street, and personnel is hanging around the lobby at the Omni Hotel. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Jen, I'm thinking that I should leave my microphone on so that I can laugh throughout the entire thing, because I really was laughing.
Another Joel Jones.
And that's true, because I think, something that... And that's one of the things that I think is always important to people who are moving into town. I think those of us who've been here for a while, I'm not sure how long you've been here, Jen.
About 10 years.
I came to school here some time ago and stayed in the black hole of Charlottesville. A lot of people overlook that there are a lot of talented people whose work needs to be recognized. And I think Joel Jones is one of them. Obviously, that Alex and Ray.
Yeah, we're definitely but
very talented sure. people. I mean, reading that offstage theater, my guess is, can be overlooked because you're not at live arts because you and that sort of thing. Regardless, I'm just babbling on now. That was funny. It was well performed, that little bit that we heard, and I'm curious as to how that works out for the entire play.
I really ought to point out that Ray and I are really just filling in here today. The regular cast members couldn't make it this morning.
What the hell is wrong with them?
And I know, isn't that terrible? And because I really am just the director of this piece, but the role of Fred actually is being performed by Brad Presley, who's done a lot of Bar Hoppers before, and people will know him and remember him. And Stuart Moneymaker is doing Mr. Bluntbutter, and they both are wonderful. And then Grace Jordan rounds out the cast in this show.
All right. I do want to thank both of you for our first bit during the hour today. We're going to come back in a little bit and bring in our next group. Give us a few minutes. I'm going to chat with Jen about Bar Hoppers. Stay. Don't go anywhere. I know that you wouldn't. Not after that. Speed dating is going to be the next. And I'm sure that this group of listeners for the Wake Up Call will be very interested in speed dating. Jen, I'm curious, how old is Bar Hoppers?
Yeah, Bar Hoppers is probably about, this is our 17th year.
Wow, really?
17th, and we got to be with you in our 16th, so thank you for having us back. The program started as the brainchild of the original group of people who were involved with offstage theater. One of them still involved, Doug Grissom, who's on faculty at UVA. And they wanted to do works that were site-specific, and that basically means that they take place wherever the setting is of the play. And that's what Offstage is committed to. So Offstage does shows in the location of the setting of the play. So we're thinking about something for next year that may be a play in a cemetery. Bar Hoppers.
How do you get chairs there in a comfortable manner?
Well, we don't know if it's necessarily comfortable. We never claimed it would be comfortable. We just claimed that we're putting on the shows. But Bar Hoppers will be comfortable.
Well,
because,
at least
of course,
in the cemetery, you're guaranteed an audience.
There you're exactly right. Absolutely. So we're thinking about something like that. But Bar Hoppers, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, how did that happen? And what does that mean? The idea is that we perform in one bar and then move to another and come back, and we solicit plays from people each year that take place in a bar. So we'll put out the word, we'll put ads in the paper, we'll send out emails to people on our listservs, other theaters. There are different listservs around the country for playwrights, and we'll ask them if they want to submit a play that's set in a bar. So that's basically the first step that goes into getting a Bar Hoppers off the ground.
I think I remember this correctly, that my first experience with Bar Hoppers, and by the way, I think this is you were here last year, but I had another group like 3 or 4 years before that.
Okay.
But my first experience with Bar Hoppers was actually being in a bar one of the few times ever.
Yeah.
And this group of people just stood up and started doing something, and you didn't know whether it was real. I mean, the original reaction from everyone was, oh my God, what is going on between those people? They're arguing or, you know, what, and I can't even remember now, but it was,
so it just,
no one alerted us to the fact that this was a play that until at some point something happened and you realized, oh, wait a minute, this is just fake.
Right.
And so that's how the first one started. That's how the first play began, was just sort of arising out of the audience.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the show, they said, okay, here's what we're doing. You know, please hang out and watch.
So it just kind of spontaneously erupted.
And eruption is probably the best the best word for that. I'm curious. You mentioned they're regularly in bars.
Right.
And you're in Rapture and Escafé this year before going back to Rapture. What do you do if I don't smoke?
Come to Escafé. Yeah, great question. Escafé is non-smoking. So all of the performances on the 18th, 19th, and 20th will be non-smoking shows at Escafé.
All right, so you have... So the group has considered that because, you know, I don't smoke.
Yeah.
And there are times in my life when I didn't really care and I could deal with that. But as, you know, as I've gotten to be over 30, it's, I know, I don't look over 30. It's more of an issue now for me. I just can't handle it for longer periods of time.
Sure. No, understandable. And also we have a lot of our friends, have kids, young moms, pregnant ladies, you know, they don't want to come out to a smoky bar, and we really want to get them to see the shows. They've enjoyed it in the past, so we want them to come back. And also, even during the Rapture shows, we do ask people to not smoke during the shows. You know, we can't require it, but we do ask it, because the actors, too, you know, we don't want them to get smoke-filled lungs and they can't say their lines. But, I mean, Rapture's open to people smoking, and we just ask them to kind of keep it low during the show. So Escafé, good choice for anybody who is interested in a non-smoking environment, and that will be on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of March. Come join us at Escafé.
All right. 11:17 here on the Wake Up Call as we have the group from Bar Hoppers, a community theater here. Hang tight because we have Georgia and Adam coming up next with Speed Dating. But let me take a moment and give you the weather today. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 55 to 60. Clear tonight, lows 25 to 30. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs back into 55 to 60. Clear across the listening area, 51 in the Valley, 54 in Lynchburg, 58 in Richmond, and 54 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, let's thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Behind the fountain in the Berkshire Shopping Center, they're in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall, all here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. And let's take a moment and thank Dewey Keaton and Gene McCusker, Janine Joyce, for contributing to WNRN's fund drive this past fall. It's because of people like them that you have the Wake Up Call, and we can have Bar Hoppers on the show. It's also because of program underwriters like Tiger Fuel and The Hook, plus Hamilton's and Student Bookstore. Stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and other programming you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the upcoming fund drive starting March 26th. April 1st is when you really want to tune in. That's when the Wake Up Call will be asking for your money, and that will not be a fool. All right, let's fire up everyone's microphones and introduce the next group. We have Georgia Snow and Adam Silverman. I was hoping that this one, when Jen, you originally sent me the titles of the plays, I was hoping, that one sounds hysterical, because last year some of the funnier ones were dating oriented. Georgia and Adam, I'm curious as to, do you want to tell us a little bit about the play and how you got involved?
Sure. Well, the play is called Speed Dating, as you know, and it is about a 20-something named Rebecca who has gotten a little bit sick of the dating scene and how difficult it is to meet people in the age of the online dating, and has gotten talked into doing this speed dating stint. And she just meets one loser after the next, and some of them start to look okay, and then they just turn out to have something, and it's all very stereotypical. You know, one's kind of crazy and one's unemployed and on and on and on, and one's gay, and and in the end she just kind of has a breakdown and winds up turning the tables, and I guess you have to come and see how that works out.
So quick question, did you write this based on your history?
I did not write it. I did not write it.
No, this is actually written by another local person in Charlottesville named John Roomler, who will be joining us hopefully tonight to watch the show. So John wrote it maybe of his own experience, maybe not sure.
All right. Adam?
I pretty much play all the losers.
I'm not going to ask you the same question. All right. So we have Georgia and Adam. And because a lot of you, if you don't know what speed dating is, you, not that I've ever done it, but I've heard some funny stories about it. You pay a fee to sit down, and then all the guys take a chair, and then the girls take a chair, and then the girls, the women bop around from person to person, and you get like 2 or 3 minutes with each guy in the room, and I guess then you rate them, and if you want to meet somebody later, you can.
And in our version, actually, the woman, Rebecca, stays in one place, and the guys kind of hop around to the different chairs. And we do have one cast member who's not here today. He plays the bartender, Frank Cardella. And this was directed by Kathy Judge.
All right. So 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call with Community Theater Bar Hoppers. We have Georgia and Adam doing a little segment from Speed Dating. All right. Y'all are ready.
If you were an animal...
I am an animal. And I'm brilliant. And you're gorgeous.
All right. If you were a human being, what kind of human being would you be and why?
Close your eyes.
Why?
Come on.
What are you going to do?
If I told you, that would ruin it.
Not from where I'm sitting.
Please.
I don't think so.
I'm going to read your mind.
Really?
Yes. Right now you're thinking, I don't want to close my eyes because I'm a party pooper. I don't want to close my eyes because I'm a party pooper. Am I right? Am I right? I'm right. Right? I'm right. I knew it.
Right. What kind of weapon am I mentally wielding right now?
A sword. Mm-mm. A knife. Mm-mm. No, a pistol. Mm-mm. A trowel. A shovel. An axe. Screwdriver. Hammer. Pinking shears.
You are really bad at this.
Taking it into context, that is one very negative comment.
What am I thinking right now? That's right. Ding! I can't help but noticing your clothes.
I don't dress to impress. I'm real. I'm not a phony.
But this is a bar, and we're here to see if we want to date. Look around you, Gary. No one else is wearing a dirty robe.
I have nothing to hide.
Do you own a dress pair of jeans and a clean collared shirt?
Oh, that's what everyone says. Fit in and dress for success.
Well, I must admit, you're a change from the rest of these guys. An odd change, but a change. At least you're not so, you know, desperate.
I was just released from a mental hospital.
For?
My own good. I don't really remember much about it.
It?
The incident. The thing with the cat and the fan bell and the engine overheating. On the way to the funeral. Last thing I remember, I was on my way to the pet hotel with Crispy.
Your cat's name was Crispy?
No, don't be silly. No, Crispy was my goldfish. My cat. My poor dead Delilah.
Ding!
Oh my god. it's not like I wouldn't want to come see it just for the other one, but that is very clever. Who wrote that?
John Roomler.
John Roomler. And he's a Charlottesville.
He is. He's a local Charlottesville guy. Yeah, and there are lots of lots of costumes that enhance the dialogue in this one.
And you know, that was my was going to be a question. I'm assuming that at some point you mentioned that there's a third character, the bartender.
Yeah.
So the bartender bops in every now and again to give Adam an opportunity to go change clothes?
It doesn't work quite like that, but it's the bartender has an interesting relationship with Rebecca. Don't want to give that one away.
Okay.
But Adam does have an opportunity to change clothes, and that's part of the fun of it, too. So folks got to come out and watch that happen.
Adam, how hard is it for you to play, because you do all the different guys, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
How difficult is it for you to do that in terms of voice and personality?
Actually, the costume change kind of helps with that. Just kind of gives me the opportunity to take off one hat, put the other hat on, so to speak.
And Georgia, you're talking to the same person the whole time. What do you do to talk to different people?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm talking to different people. He does a great job. The physicality of every character is different, so he gives me something different to work off every time.
And your background in terms of acting for each of the two of you? I mean, did you do high school acting? Have you done things at, I don't know if you went to UVA or not, but at any university that you attended? Because I don't recognize either of you from last year from Bar Hoppers. Have you been in other area theater groups? Or you just say, you know what, this sounds cool, and I'm going to go hang out with these people.
I'm actually a professional actor from New York. I just moved here 2 months ago to kind of get away from the city. Yeah.
Well, I haven't really done that much acting in Charlottesville, short of No Shame Theater a couple of years ago. And before that, I did a lot of acting and producing in college at UMass Dartmouth, 20th Cent Fiction.
Well, that's very cool. I'm glad to meet both of you for the first time. I'm sure that'll be almost hard. You can't say that'll be one of the better plays because that makes it sound like the other ones won't be.
Exactly. Yeah, they're all really cool. They're all really different. And with these particular actors, we got really lucky this year that we have both of them on board. And this is, because they're both new at this, this is something that's really important to Offstage, is that we get new people from the community in. So when we go out there to not only solicit scripts, we do a lot of local advertising to bring in people who haven't participated before. We like to keep the people who've been involved, but getting new people in and for all different things, whether it's acting, producing, directing, we want them. And Georgia just moved to the area. Did you see an ad? What happened exactly?
Actually, it was really serendipitous. I came down here and I was going to audition for Live Arts that weekend, and they moved their auditions forward a week, and a friend of mine MySpaced me and said, hey, I saw this thing for Offstage. I don't know if you've heard of them, but why don't you go do that? And it wound up just happening within a day of moving here that I had this role.
So, that's what we're after. Getting new people in, keeping the people who've been before, and getting everybody integrated, all levels of experience. It's really what makes it fun.
All right. Thank the both of you. And I'm not allowed to say good luck. Break a leg, and I'm sure everything will go well.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. don't be going nowhere. 11:28 here on the Wake Up Call. In a few more moments, we will do Daniel on a Thursday, and we'll get Michael in here to start bringing in the Daniel on a Thursday group. I do want to take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Graphics. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Jen, I'm curious.
Yes, Rick.
Bar Hoppers.
Yeah.
You do live theater in a public place. Do you have issues where the public gets in the way of the theater?
Well, it's an fun question because definitely not in the way, but definitely they become a part of it. Because while we're performing in a restaurant, let's say Rapture, for example, the wait staff's walking around, they're taking people's orders, the bartender, the real bartender's making drinks, we've got people getting up and using the restroom. So life goes on as usual in the restaurant while our actors are up in the center of the restaurant performing. So it really adds to it. Certainly doesn't detract. It definitely adds to the experience.
I remember that last year I went to Rapture to see y'all perform.
Yeah.
And my friend Luis and I happened to be sitting next to the pool table.
Yeah.
And one of the one of the bits, male and female during their piece, jumped on the pool table and you know,
got
made
busy.
Out. Yeah.
That was the bartender mixes magic light. That was the couple, the whole cycle of a relationship on the pool table.
And someone sort of walked over because the plays don't go bam 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 bam. There is a brief minute or two between plays, and someone walked over to us and said, you know, you might want to move your jacket off the pool table, you know, just to let you know that the pool table was part of the next play.
Yeah.
And so we weren't like totally caught off guard, but I was caught off guard by how the pool table became used in the play.
Yeah, we try to give some kind of warning, disclaimer. You know, last year there was actually a gunshot that went off too.
Oh, yeah.
We told people in the beginning, but by the time we get to that play, they totally forgot. Which was quite fun. I forgot too each time. You know, I'm taken aback, like, oh, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, lots of surprises this year as well.
All right, lots of surprises this year as well. But let's not surprise people as to where they can find you.
Yeah.
Again, let's toss that out.
Yeah, they can find us tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. That's March 11th, 12th, and 13th at Rapture, 7:30. You get tickets at the door. And then next week, March 18th, 19th, and 20th, we will be at Escafé, 7:30 as well. Those are all non-smoking shows. And then the week after, we hop back to Rapture, the 25th, 26th, and 27th of March, 7:30 again.
And how much does it cost? You said tickets at the door.
Tickets at the door are $8. And certainly we suggest that people come early. It sells out quickly. And we want everybody who wants to be there to get to see the show.
All right. So let's fire up the microphones again. This is Daniel on a Thursday. We have Ray Nedzel. Is that proper pronunciation?
That's correct and proper pronunciation, Rick, yes.
Ray is a director. Hold that sign up again. This is going to be confusing. Ray Nedzel. Then I have Ray Cairns.
Cairns.
Plays Daniel in Daniel on a Thursday.
That's right.
And Mark Valahovic.
All right. Well done.
Who has somehow shrunk by 4 inches from last year. I'm not really sure. I walked into the studio today and Mark was here and I immediately recognized the face. And I thought that he was married to Jen, but he was shorter than the guy who was married to Jen last year, so I really wasn't sure.
It's him, I promise.
It is.
I really wasn't sure what prompted all that.
It was my magnanimous stage presence. That's what it was.
And that's what I think.
It's too much time in the dryer.
Too much time in the dryer. 11:32 in the wake-up call as we visit with a variety of folks from Bar Hoppers, one of the community theater groups here in Charlottesville. You're welcome to call in if you have a question, 979-0919. If you're not sure how to get to the downtown mall, because both or all three performances at the two different restaurants, Rapture and Escafé, are both on the Charlottesville downtown mall. Someone here of the many folks out in the lobby can answer your question. Do you have a website?
We do, yeah. www.offstagetheater, theater spelled with an R-E at the end, .org. So offstagetheater.org.
So if you're in one of those, over in the valley or elsewhere listening to us on one of our many other numbers out there in Lynchburg or Harrisonburg, et cetera, and want to come over and check out funny, talented community theater, feel free to call us up, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919 for the local folks if you have a question about community theater and how all that works. All right, guys, who wants to tell us a little bit about Daniel on a Thursday? I guess let's start with Daniel. Daniel, tell us a little bit about Daniel on a Thursday. All right,
I can tell you a little bit about Daniel. This is Ray Nedzel.
Director.
Right, this is Ray Nedzel, the director. Daniel on a Thursday is a straight pickup scene in a gay bar. Daniel is an exceedingly, if you could see him, ladies and men, he's an exceedingly gorgeous man here sitting two seats away from me. And he is attracted the attention of Kevin, who's played by Mark Valahovic.
Can I ask a question real quick? When you're trying to find the proper person to fill this role, is that part of what goes into selecting Daniel is making sure that the people who are watching it are going to go, you know what, I'm not gay, but he is cute. Or for the women going, you know what, damn, why do the cute guys have to be gay?
Why do the cute guys always have to be gay? It's definitely a big part of it, because we want to see, when the play starts, we want to see why Kevin would have an attraction to Daniel. And so, like I said, you can all see Ray, and you can see why you would have an attraction to Daniel as played by
not
Ray.
So much at 10:30 in the morning.
She still has bed hair, but even bed hair is not a bad thing to wake up with.
I actually kind of like the curly, messy hair on my attractive people.
I like to wake up with any hair.
I'll pay you all after the show.
All right.
So Kevin is and has been very attracted to Daniel for a while, and whereas Daniel is a little stuck in his shell and likes his world ordered the way that he has it ordered, Kevin is spontaneous, and he's like a puppy dog. He's jumping up on your lap the whole time, and he might even bite your nose.
And he's shorter than you thought he was.
And he's also cute.
All right, so so we have Ray playing Daniel. We have Alex?
Mark.
See? Let's hold the stupid signs up so I can see. I've already gotten it confused, and you're one of the two people who were here last year. Well, yes. Not counting Jen.
Answer in.
All right, so Mark and Ray are here doing Daniel on a Thursday, whenever
and
you guys are ready.
We're going to start. This is actually the top of the play, and we'll play the first part of the play. And then hopefully leave you wanting more. So as the play starts up, we don't have the soundtrack here, but Ray walks into the bar and begins watching his favorite show, The Golden Girls.
Hey.
Hey.
I like your beer.
What?
Oh, my God, that was an incredibly stupid thing to say.
Did you say you liked my beer?
Yes, it is a very attractive Bex. It looks good on you.
Thanks.
It's Kevin.
Look.
I'm Kevin.
Right, Kevin. I don't mean to be rude. I'm sure you're a nice guy and all. It's just, I really don't feel like talking tonight.
Okay, that's fair. So that was my one chance with you and I just blew it, right?
Excuse me?
Well, I compliment your beer for some reason I can't fathom, and that's that.
Look.
Is it my body?
What?
Is my body this major turnoff? Or is my hair?
Of course not. You're a perfectly nice looking guy. Not my type, as it turns out, but perfectly nice.
Huh.
Anyway, good talking with you.
Well, wait, let me get this straight. Even though I don't disgust you outright, and I don't actually disgust you, do I?
You don't disgust me.
Even so, you wouldn't shake my hand.
What are you talking about?
I held out my hand to introduce myself, and you wouldn't take it or tell me your name even.
Look.
Oh, no. I mean, what you just did, it's just righteously crappy, okay? It's just a handshake. It's a handshake for the love of... Fudge! What kind of superior butt wipe do you think you are?
Oh my God, no. I didn't mean to insult you,
Daniel,
believe me.
Just take it easy, man. It's Kevin. It's Kevin Carpenter from high school. I'm just messing with you, buddy.
Kevin Carpenter?
Yeah, from history class.
European history or?
Exactly. European history class. I saw you from across the bar just now and I was like, hey! If that isn't little Daniel Delmonico from high school in a gay bar. Man, I haven't seen him in years. I know what. I'm going to go over. I'm going to mess with his head.
And so you did.
Boy, did I.
Right. So, Kevin.
So, Daniel. So, buttons, huh? Hey, I hope I didn't freak your stuff too severely or anything like that.
No, that's... Wow, you know, I've got to be honest here. I really don't remember you at all.
You don't?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's cool, man. It's not like we were friends or anything like that.
We weren't.
Not at all.
Were we acquaintances even?
Not that I recall.
Well, it was a full class.
And an enormous school.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to finally meet you now after all these years.
After all these years.
You know, this is actually very cool because the whole time I was in high school, I was fully convinced that I was the only gay person there.
No, you may well have been. I'm straight.
Sorry.
100% hetero.
But this is a gay bar.
I know.
So what are you doing here?
I don't know. I was wanting a beer. You know, I was just walking down the street wanting a beer, and I saw this place, and hey, I enjoy an old Golden Girls episode as much as the next guy.
Okay.
Problemo?
No.
Hey, Gay People Are A-Okay by Kevin Carpenter, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right, don't worry. I'm not going to tell, you know, your old gang your little secret.
What secret?
That I saw you here.
Actually, that's not a secret, really. And what old gang?
Your old pals from high school, Daniel's old buds.
But I didn't... Back then, I didn't have that many close. Exactly who was in my old gang?
You know.
Remind me.
Well, like Mary.
Uh-huh.
And Bill.
I didn't know anyone by those names, Kevin, and our high school was hardly enormous, and come to think of it, I didn't take European history, I took American history, so I'm pretty sure you've got the wrong guy.
Gotcha! 2 for 2 for the Kevinator. I totally had you going there, man.
You did.
All the way.
So you didn't go to my high school.
Negatory. I never even seen you before tonight, but I totally had you going, I mean, right up until that Bill and Mary part.
Look, Kevin, why don't you just leave me alone, okay? I said I didn't want to talk to anyone, and I don't know why you're doing this to me, so just... let's just say good night.
Hey, I hear you. Nighty night.
Oh my God. That one, of all the other ones, the first two that we heard, I felt like the part that we heard could have been on its own, and there's more to them. That one, I am left with a. Because of the way that Mark portrays Kevin, I'm like, what is... Kevin is obviously not going to stop.
That's obvious.
So clearly. I am very curious as to how this one ends. Ooh, and I hope the pool table is not involved at the Rapture.
It's a cliffhanger, right?
Yes,
that's
a cliffhanger.
You just have to come out and see.
That's right, Rick. Yeah, Kevin won't be put off until, of course, he near the end, he finds that maybe if he was just simple and real and honest, he'd get a little more of the attention he's looking for. So it's funny, it's fast paced, and it has a little happy ending.
All right. Anything else we should know about Daniel on a Thursday?
Well, this is our one published piece.
Yeah.
So this piece is written by somebody who has been published in...
Is that what that means?
Yep. He's been published outside of Charlottesville. His name's Garth Wingfield. So basically, if we want to use his work, we have to go through a whole licensing process.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay some money to a company out there in New York that has published authors. And this is each year we generally choose one because we don't have a very big budget, of course, and it is more expensive than the other plays. We pay all of our playwrights. So anybody who is interested in submitting a play to Offstage, we do pay everybody, but we pay these licensing fees cost more.
All right, so we have Ray play Daniel. Very nice. We have Mark. And for those of you who saw the shows last year, you may remember Mark because the answer man
That's right.
Might have been top-notch.
Thank you.
I think everything needs to be... It's you don't want to rate because it means that somebody's at the bottom, but I will say that personally... I think that I enjoyed Mark in Answer Man most last year, and so I'm looking forward to catching the shows this year.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, that was a really good show last year, and that was also a Joel Jones piece. And besides the piece that I read earlier with Alex Powerlunch, that's Joel Jones' piece, Mark is also directing another Joel Jones piece.
Yes.
And let me just say Joel Jones, 3 times in a row. Another piece called Them... which we're not going to hear a segment of today, but it's a really different piece than the Power Lunch, and it just kind of shows his
versatility
as a writer to bring two completely different plays to this Bar Hopper series.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And 11:42 here on the wake-up call. I know you won't go anywhere because next up we have one that may have the funniest name to it. Cultural Diversity Ate My... Lunch. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week a local hunter shares his story about fighting a 600-pound bear with his hands. Learn a bit more about current mom and newly appointed judge Cheryl Higgins. And the fearless consumer looks into the cost of a stopped toilet. The Hook. Enjoy those lavish features every Thursday. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are famous for durable outdoor gear and your source for trail running footwear, including belt packs, clothing, and new Patagonia items. Also at Blue Ridge, it's the area's premier selection of rain gear. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. You can find them at Wintergreen and in Richmond, plus at BRMS.com. And remember, at noon, there's Les Temps Perdue. It's the best of the 80s and 90s alternative. No Huey Lewis, no Kaja Goo Goo or Loverboy, but you will hear Dead Milkman and Chalk Farm. And requests are always welcome. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. Jen, you got a microphone real quick?
Yeah.
All right, because I want to ask you, you talked about... you did something last spring. You did your show last spring, and so you got your show this spring. What do you do off season?
Okay, so Offstage does many different shows. Last year, the only show we did was Bar Hoppers. We have a board of people that figure out what plays we're going to do when. We have the idea of having a regular season, but sometimes we're not able to get everything up. So we have a new season planned for next year. We're taking submissions right now. So basically, let me just go back a little bit. In the past, we've done plays that take place in other locations. I have Mark Valahovic here, who can also speak a little bit about this. But we did a play a couple years ago in the Satellite Ballroom. It was called Election. Mm-hmm. And again, since we don't have a home, we really rely on the kindness of strangers or friends in Charlottesville to let us use their spaces. So we did a play called Election that was that written by Joel?
Yeah, it was again written by Joel.
Written by Joel Jones, directed by a woman who came in from New York. She's a director up there. Next year, I think I mentioned we're thinking about doing play in a cemetery. We've tossed around the idea of doing a play during a county fair, mm-hmm. Miss Firecracker, which Holly Hunter was in that movie a while back. Mm-hmm. And what we want is for people to come to us and say, hey, I have a really great idea of doing a play around a swimming pool. And I'd really like to do these plays, and I'm interested in maybe even being the producer.
Will you... does community theater as a group, do you help people? Like you find the person and they come to you and say, I want to do a play around a swimming pool, and they submit something. But as a group, do you get together and sort of edit it and help them build it into a better piece of work?
Sure. Yes. Actually, we can do that. We did that with some of these Bar Hoppers plays.
Yeah, absolutely. That's we probably get about 30 to 40 submissions. And this is Mark, by the way. 30 to 40 submissions per year. And we whittle it down to about 10 or 12, and then from those 10 and 12, get a good solid 6 to 8 and work with the writers on continuing to improve the scripts. The one that we're going to hear pretty soon, Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch, I'll just tell you the quick history on this one. Jen, my wife, was in New York, and I was going up to visit her on a train. And I met a woman on a train, and we started talking, and we got on the subject of... No, not like that. We just got on the subject of theater. And she said that her husband was a playwright. And I was like, wow. And I told her all about what we do with Offstage and how you can submit a play. And when I got back home, I looked him up on the internet, and he was published by Dramatist Play Service. He has two or three full-length plays published. And he and I just started emailing back and forth, and I told him about Bar Hoppers, and he submitted Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch, and he's going to be here tonight to see the show. It was just great.
I'm sorry, the title makes me laugh.
Oh, it's just there. His name is Alonzo Lamont, by the way. I'm sorry.
So, all right, so we have Mark, and you're producing, directing tonight's play?
I'm directing one. I'm directing a play called Them, and of course you just heard me read Kevin in Daniel on a Thursday.
And Betty is the director of Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch, Betty Hales.
I hadn't looked over far enough. Mm-hmm. I recognized Betty from last year.
Yeah.
And again, one of the funnier pieces where... You were talking with, for those of, I can't remember the name of it, but for people who went to the shows and saw you chatting with your friend about the guy that you were so hooked on while you drank martinis together, I thought that was very
chocolate
clever and well acted together. who wants to tell us? So we got Betty as the director tonight. Clinton Johnson is the man in Cultural Diversity at My Lunch. Obviously, Mark, the person you met, not so great with the names of characters in the play. Betty, you're the director. You want to tell us a little bit about Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch?
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting piece. I chose it because I liked what it had to say. It's about a professor at a college who can't get tenure, And so he has gone to a bar after work, and he is bemoaning his fate to the bartender. And he hits on a lot of topics, I think, that a lot of people will be able to identify with. And I think Clinton does a wonderful job expressing all that.
Yeah, and both Clinton, the actor, and Alonzo, the playwright, are professors. If not associate professor. Is that your title, Clinton? Associate? Mm-hmm. Assistant?
I really have no idea.
Oh, there you go.
he loves the work.
At a university.
And Clinton, you're new this year. Have you been with Bar Hoppers before, or is this your first time you're a rookie?
I've been with Bar Hoppers before. I did a Bar Hoppers a number of years ago, and always love offstage, always love Bar Hoppers. Usually it's only my schedule that keeps me away, and I was really pleased that this year things worked out where I could do another Bar Hoppers. It's been way too long.
All right. So are we ready to start with this one? Do we need to know anything else? All right. Push the right buttons, and Quentin, start when you are ready.
Bartender, whiskey. Four fingers of Jack, straight. Well, this ends it. Right here, right now, finito, done. I gave the college some of my best years, but are they renewing my contract? No. Oh. 8 years I gave that place. But just like that, over. I'm through with teaching. They're not renewing my contract. Oh, that was made crystal clear. Yeah, every year, my department chair gives me the heads up at the last faculty meeting, but not today. And maybe it's best for both of us. Me and college need a split. Ugh. Yep, they can have it. They can take their freaking diversity and cannonade it down someone else's agenda. We're talking 8 years. 8 years in the Department of English teaching, well, English. And for what? English is just a second language now. I'd be better off teaching Ebonics or Moronics, but no, I'm plugging away, teaching the King's English. But do I get tenure? Sadly, I do not. Want to know who gets tenure? The transsexual star in women's studies. That's who. Zippity-doo-dah. Now, the transsexual star is a star because she's a transsexual. Ask me why the transsexual star gets tenure. Go ahead, ask me. Because these are transsexual times, my friend. Ha! Transsexual times, buddy boy. Now, did she have any credentials going for her? Sure, shoot. She was published. She ran a blog for the San Francisco Sisterhood Daily. Because, you know, transsexuals are just like you or me. They just have differences that require special treatment. Like maybe a special day at Disneyland. Mickey Mouse has long been a friend of special needs folks. Look at how he befriends the still-in-the-closet Daffy. Oh, snap! I think I just outed Daffy. Cheers. College ain't for thinkers anymore, pal. It's for victims. Plain and simp. The folks I work with connect those irrational victim dots all the time. And that, my friend, is the very essence of modern college existence. Illogic. Those liberal robots in my department breathe illogic like fresh air at the beach. You show me a college student who doesn't hate his family, his culture, or his country, and I'll show you a college student who's not in college! If you think the yokels who come to your place are going through some grand, noble quest, think again, brethren. College is for every group of multi-culties to find out exactly how disabled they are. 8 years of hard labor, and what did I do during those 8 years? Did I distinguish myself? Well, yes, I did. You're looking at a man who won a couple of grants, spoke at a couple of conferences, was published in several notable English journals, and look where it got me. What the J-blip was I thinking? I got three strikes against me. One, I'm heterosexual. College is no place for practicing heterosexuals. Where's the angst? Two, I'm black. Black just don't make the grade on campus anymore. Look at me, teaching the white man's dead language. I'm guilty by association. A black man teaching English. Yeah, where's my frickin' disadvantage? Huh? And nowadays, you need a serious disadvantage on campus. Hey, I came from a two-parent household. Woo! Hell, baby bubba, I can't admit that in public circles. It's the frickin' truth I dare not speak.
Oh, my God. I came from a two-parent household? Oh, Lord. All right. That was Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch, a brilliant performance by Clinton Johnston. Aside from the what was obviously a sort of a true angst that was coming out, I love the sounds. I mean, we're talking about, for those of you who can't see this, you know, out of our microphone, Clinton is like pouring water into a glass to make it sound like a mixed drink, you know, drinking it, and all that stuff was Clinton actually making that happen. I love that. Nice job, sir.
Thank you.
Very nice job. Betty, how difficult is it for, because I'm assuming we only saw a segment of this, but it is a one-person piece.
Yes, it's a monologue.
And maybe I'm wrong.
Except for Frank.
Yeah, we do have a bartender.
Do you?
Yeah, but Clinton has the only speaking
part. I would assume that it's, even though getting three or four or more people to work together as a team would be difficult, I would think that putting all the pressure on one person and keeping them up and running for the whole piece would almost be more difficult as a director. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. I working with exceptional actors always makes it easier for a director. Casting is 90% of our job. And when you get the right people to do it, it makes it fun and it makes it enjoyable.
She only had me to work with. So.
Not true.
Well,
not
that's
true.
What shows that she's a great director, because that came out anyway.
But we would run through the monologue at least three times a night, and he would put everything into it each night. My admiration would go out to him each time we do it. But I don't think working with one actor is any more difficult than working with numerous actors on a scene. You just have to get the timing right in your rehearsals as to where you're putting your focus and how much energy you have to put into it.
Okay.
How about for Clinton, for you, I'm curious. I mean, having the cast basically being you and Frank, but you do all the speaking, is it more difficult or is there no real comparison between working with a full cast of more people?
It is different. It's considerably different. I mean, working with a cast of people is like, to use a sports metaphor, working with a cast of people is like playing ball. I mean, you're passing things. I mean, there's energy that needs to be kept up, but you're passing things back and forth, and there's the fun that comes from passing it off and getting something.
Focus isn't always on you.
And getting something, yeah. But doing a piece like this, it's like doing a sprint. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, the gun goes off, you take a deep breath, and you just go. And I do interact with our silent bartender Frank, and that's great. But it's just so much just run, hit the finish line.
All right, you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetfire Amherst Lynchburg, and we want to make sure and thank 4-5 Fix for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 4-5-Fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, so we have heard Power Lunch, Daniel on a Thursday, Speed Dating, and Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch. I'll put those in order. We heard Power Lunch first, then we heard Speed Dating, then Daniel on a Thursday, and we're finishing up our hour today, Cultural Diversity Ate My Lunch. Jan, one more time as to where people can find the program and the cost.
Yeah, people can find us tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night at Rapture, $7.30, $8 or tickets. Next week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday will be at Escafé, and tickets will also be $8. And then back to Rapture the week after. That's the 25th, 26th, and 27th of March, 7:30, $8. And our shows at Escafé, the middle group of shows, those are non-smoking. And we look forward to seeing people.
And offstagetheater.org?
Offstagetheater with an RE.org.
So for people who are new to town, who are unfamiliar with the community theater, Bar Hoppers group, and or who are just finally sort of making a decision on trying to write or act and want to come out and join the group for next performance.
Exactly.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
I want to thank Betty and Quentin for being here and everyone else who was here. See, there were two Rays and Mark. There was Georgia and an Adam.
Yeah.
And I'm missing somebody. Was
and Alex.
And Alex
mm-hmm.
was here.
You got it.
Thanks so much. And, of course, I want to thank Jen because you did all the hard work in terms of getting things together for me and making it go oh so smoothly.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Next week, boys and girls, I will be in Las Vegas either winning or losing all my money. And I promise not to bet on the Who's. We will have a substitute here for me, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake-Up Call, only on WNRN.